Today we continue with our series on Romans, and the series is entitled God's Righteousness Revealed. And it has been a few months already. We hope that you have seen the righteousness of God. You have experienced the righteousness of God, and truly God's righteousness has been revealed. I hope you have also taken some time to do some reflections after Good Friday and Easter. It is important for us to take time to do reflections, to take a pause. If not, day by day, hour by hour, it will just go by, right? We are so busy, our schedule always full and so on. So I encourage you to take some time to do reflections. So come for also the 1st May silent retreat, okay? Labor Day, don't labor. Okay, Labor Day, rest, take a pause. Spend time with God. Allow God to speak to you. Allow yourselves to be aligned to God. And then after that, 2nd May onwards, you can labor. And hopefully your labor will not be in vain. I want to share with us some of my reflections on the Holy Week. I shared this with with our pastors on some of the things that I've learned. One of the deepest lessons that I learned is the universal betrayal. Universal betrayer. I do not know about you, but when I read the Bible, I'm very critical. I read Adam and Eve, I shake my head. I read Moses, I shake my head. I read David, I shake my head. I read about Judas Iscariot, I shake my head. Right? And I read about Simon Peter denying the Lord 3 times, I shake my head. After 40 years as a Christian, finally this Holy Week, the Lord spoke to me about universal betrayal. I have also betrayed the Lord. So have you. Are you surprised? All of us have rejected the Lord at one time or another. Especially before you became a Christian. And then you become a Christian. And sad to say, even after you become a Christian, sometimes we still fail. Hopefully not that often. But we still do fail. There is a universal betrayal. And with that, we need a universal redemption. That is sad, but so true. In our study of Romans, can we have the chart up? We have recognized our need, the righteousness that is needed because of our sins. And God has provided us righteousness and salvation. Because we believed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by our own works, and we have been declared righteous, and we have been given freedom and life. And God continues to sanctify us. This is the journey that we are on towards Christ's likeness. So we are now in the 4th section on God's righteousness in salvation history. And last sermon, you heard about God's sovereignty and his dealings with the Jews in the past. Today, we continue with God's present dealings with the Jews and then also with the Greeks and Gentiles. Our sermon title today is entitled Faith Comes by Hearing. We will consider 3 questions. First question, what everyone needs. Second question, how we believe. And thirdly, what is God doing today? What everyone needs. Verse 11 to 13. And you will realize that everyone needs God's righteousness. Verse 11 says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. We pause here for a while. Have you experienced shame? Have you? Or you're too shameful to admit that? All of us have experienced shame. We grew up in the culture of shame. Do you realize that? And we are so afraid of shame. And shame has a heavy burden. Especially shame because of our sin. All of us, Jews and Gentiles, are sinners. We fall short of God's mark, and salvation is only found in the gospel. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way. Shame from sin is a feeling of isolation, a feeling of rejection. Rejection by men, rejection by family, rejection by God, rejection even by yourself. It can be caused by one's own guilt feeling. It can be caused by guilt. It can be caused by a hurt reputation. It can be caused because someone wronged you. And what is the effects of shame? Shame sin oneself. Sin shames oneself. Sin shames God. And sin shames others as well. That is the far-reaching effect of sin and shame. Important question, an application question that we have to ask ourselves is, are you struggling with shame from sin? If you are, you need to believe in Jesus. Because the verse tells us, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. You believe in Jesus, you shouldn't be experiencing the sin, the shame of sin. Because the shame of our sin was on Jesus. Perhaps you are already a believer. Perhaps you are already a child of God. But you still experience this shame of sin in you. What you need to do is this. What you need to do is confess your sin and receive forgiveness from God and leave that shame at the foot of the cross. Don't carry your bag of shame along with you on your journey. Jesus was shamed on our behalf when he hung on that cross. And therefore, we do not need to carry the shame from our sin anymore. Believe in Jesus. If you are not yet a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus. If you are a Christian, you must need to continue to believe in Jesus, that he will take away your shame. Verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, or Greek in some versions. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. It doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Gentile. All of us have sinned and all of us need God's righteousness. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. This is the universal need of everyone for God's righteousness. The same Lord, the verse says, the same Lord is the Lord of all. All meaning Jew, Gentiles, Greek, Chinese, Indian, Malay, Caucasian, Africans, etc., etc. All. The Lord is Lord of all. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be richly blessed. What does it mean to be richly blessed? Today, if I were to play a Slido game, ask you, what does it mean to be richly blessed? And all of you take out your handphone, scan, you know that game, right? And then you key in your answer. I think I will have a lot of interesting answers. But what does the Bible mean when it talks about richly blessed? What blessing is God referring to? Verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is what the Bible refers to when he talks about richly blessed. Salvation. You are saved from your sin. You are saved from eternal damnation. You are saved from that separation between you and God. It's not talking about material wealth, possessions, health. So what does everyone need? Everyone needs God's salvation, God's righteousness. When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Question, do you remember how you were saved? How you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I enjoy preparing sermon because sometimes, you know, I need to stop and remember. I grew up in a non-Christian home. I went to a Roman Catholic kindergarten, the one along Upper Thompson Road, near Thompson Plaza, on the main road. But I did not know much about Jesus until I was 14 years old. I attended a youth camp, stepped into church, a proper church for the first time. And the pastor shared the gospel with me, and I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Do you remember your encounter? How you believed? How do we believe? Faith comes by hearing. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? There's four houses, okay? And there are actually four steps. How can they call on the one they have not believed? One, how can they believe when they have not heard? How can they hear when they do not have someone preaching to them? And how can one preach if they are not sent? As a 14-year-old, I have not heard about Jesus Christ. How can I believe if I have not heard? How can I hear if there's no one preaching to me? How can the pastor preach unless he is sent? You get the point? How? Do you remember how you believed in Jesus? Someone shared the good news of the gospel with you. And you came to faith hearing the gospel of Christ. And you understood that you are a sinner and you stand before God and there's a big gulf between you and God that you cannot reach God. And you know that one day you will have to die. And one day when you stand before God, you will be ashamed. Because of our sins. That is the bad news. The good news is this. God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins and reconcile you to himself, and he declared you righteous and you become a child of God when you pray to receive Jesus as your Savior. And it is free. That is the good news. Faith comes by hearing the good news of the gospel. So last month, I called up the pastor. He is now a retired pastor. He is now a teaching missionary. So he is a missionary that goes to different countries to teach people or to teach the pastors, the local pastors, how to study the Word of God and how to preach. I called him out because I wanted to let him know. I wanted to affirm him. I wanted to thank him. I wanted to buy him a lunch. And I shared with him, I'm now a pastor. He was so proud. The 14-year-old that he shared the gospel with has become a pastor. I'm eternally grateful to God. And he was truly God sent. Because if he did not share the gospel with me, I wouldn't be who I am today. I'm indebted to him for sharing the gospel with me. Question: who shared the gospel with you? You remember that person? If you cannot remember, go and see a doctor, please. If you can remember, my suggestion is this: at least connect with the person and thank the person. Christians, we need to be affirmed and we need to affirm others. We need encouragement when it comes to evangelism, because evangelism is tough work. Those of you who have evangelized before, you would know. You keep sharing the gospel, you know, eat char siew rice with your friend, you know, share the gospel. And oftentimes you feel rejected, right? There's rejection. Rejection rate is very high. So if you receive a call or a card or email or a WhatsApp from someone whom you share the gospel with, it is great encouragement. So I want us to encourage the one who has shared the gospel with you. Invite that person out. Thank the person. Encourage him. And affirm him. 加油! 加油! And for those of us driving EV, 加电! Preach the good news. Be encouraged. Preach the good news. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Legend has it that there was a soldier fighting in the Battle of Marathon, which took place in August or September 490 BC. It was said that he ran the whole distance from the city of Marathon to Athens without stopping, discarding all his weapons, even taking out his clothes to lose as much weight as possible. And he burst into the assembly and then exclaimed, "We have won!" And then he collapsed and died. The first marathon. But how beautiful are those feet that bring good news, right? During the dawn prayer, I had the privilege of washing some feet. I won't tell you how many, but some feet. I also won't tell you whose feet I wash. But I must say that there are some feet that are more beautiful than others. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that those feet are manicured and pedicured. If you are bearing the good news, your feet are beautiful. Don't have to go manicure, pedicure. Why do I say that? When Jesus hung on the cross, was his feet beautiful? Beautiful? Beautiful. Because he was the feet that brought good news from heaven to earth. Journeyed on this sinful world that he made, suffering, dying on the cross, and on the cross his feet was covered with blood, with the nail-pierced wounds. Was it beautiful? Beautiful, right? He was the Word made flesh, journeyed on this earth and died for you and me. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So we ask ourselves, look at your own feet. Are they beautiful? I had the privilege of knowing beforehand that we are going to have feet washing, so I cut my toenails the night before. That is in preparation of the feet washing. But I hope, on a more serious note, after hearing today's sermon, you will prepare your feet so that your feet will be beautiful. You will go and share the gospel. Bring good news, because one day, I do not know when that day will come, where we have to stand before God. And I hope none of us will be ashamed. Verse 16. What is God doing? But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Paul in Romans is writing to the diaspora, to the Israelites that has been dispersed throughout the whole Roman world. That's why it is the book of the Romans. Okay, Paul is not writing to the Romans, but the diaspora. And he is going to quote a lot of Old Testament prophets. Okay, the first one he quotes is Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message? Comprehension is very simple here. Before that, the one in Romans. Comprehension very easy, right? Did the Jews believe the message? Look at those words in red. Not all. Okay, not all. Okay? And then we go to Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To the Jews, right? But not all believe. Why did they reject Jesus Christ, the Messiah? This is verse 1. Verse 2 continues, and we are familiar from verse 2 onwards. Verse 53, verse 2 of Isaiah. He grew up, referring to Jesus. Jesus grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Gardeners, you can understand this, right? Dry ground, the shoot is growing up. It won't come out very nice. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. When the Jews looked at Jesus, how can this be our king? How can this be our king? He doesn't look like the king. He is the son of a carpenter. Never go school. Right? How can he be king? Cannot. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Friends, when the world look at the cross, they see the Jesus that is on the cross. It is the same picture. How can this be God? How can this be the Savior of the world? He looks like a loser. Kena nail to the cross and died. You get the parallel? It did not make sense to them, to the Jews, and even today, to many people. This does not look like their Savior. Therefore, they despised him and held him in low esteem. Friends, this is the reality. When you share the gospel, when you share the good news, it will not always be accepted. But don't be discouraged. Don't feel stupid, because you are not. And to encourage us, let me share this with you and report this to you. Yesterday was Alpha Holy Spirit weekend away. I just shared the gospel. And three put up their hands to receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Yeah, I want to clap lah. That clap not for me, that clap for Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. At least three. Because how many else pray in their heart, I do not know. But anyone who receives the Lord Jesus becomes a child of God. God is still saving people. That is the point. Not every day 3,000 come to know Christ. But every day, God is still saving those that he's calling. So don't feel discouraged. 加油! Share the gospel. Our part is to share the good news. And we have sung, right? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation doesn't belong to us. Salvation doesn't belong to my hard work. Salvation doesn't belong to my eloquence. Salvation does not even belong to my prayer. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But what must we do? We must open our mouth lah, and share the gospel. We must be God's hand, God's legs, and God's mouth, and share. And salvation belongs to the Lord when He sends the Holy Spirit, stirs the heart of the people, convict them of their sin, and make them realize the need for God's righteousness. And they come to Jesus for righteousness. That is what salvation belongs to the Lord means. Verse 17, coming back to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Because the Jews rejected Christ, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, consequently, it is now offered to the Gentiles like you and me. Everyone and anyone who has faith from hearing the message through the word about Christ receives salvation. Then Paul goes on to ask in verse 18, but I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice have gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Did they hear? Of course they did, right? And then he quotes an Old Testament passage. And in this passage, theologians frequently refer this to the general revelation, the general revelation of God. Creation and nature has a message and reveals that there is a God. And Psalm 19, verse 4 is quoted here. But I would like to read for us starting from verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they, referring to creation, pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. That means to say, God uses general revelation to reveal Himself to everyone, especially to the Jews. And then verse 19 continues in Romans chapter 10. Again, I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. This is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Israel heard and Israel understood, but they rejected God. And God says here, they made me jealous by what is no God, and angered me with their worthless idols. I will make them envious. I will make the Jews envious by those who are not a people. Those that are not my people. The Jews are usually very proud that they are God's chosen people. Here God says, I will make them envious by those who are not a people. I will make them angry. I will make the Jews angry by a nation that has no understanding. It is because of God that we have understanding. It is because of the Holy Spirit that we understand spiritual things. Here, God is telling the people of Israel, since you reject me, I will give understanding to a nation that has no understanding. So now, not only the Jew hears and understands, we Gentiles can also hear and understand. Gentiles who has no understanding will be also able to find the Messiah. Isaiah 65 goes on to say this. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. Does that speak of you before you became a Christian? It speaks of me. I mong cha cha, then suddenly go to a camp, and then suddenly hear the gospel, and then I didn't seek God. No? He sought me out, and then the gospel was shared to me, and then I came to know, oh, I am a sinner. Continue. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. And then it continues, right? Verse. Next slide. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imagination. What is God doing? God is reaching out to obstinate people. Obstinate people. Stubborn people. How stubborn are we? We are very stubborn. Or rather, I am very stubborn. Not you. I am very stubborn. I depend on my own wisdom. I depend on my own strength. I depend on my own ideas before I was a Christian. Today, I still depend on the same thing. I'm very stubborn. Although, sometimes God remind me to surrender and trust Him and come to Him and ask Him. Does that speak of you? We are obstinate people, but God continues to reach out. God continues to reach out to a disobedient and obstinate Israel. In verse 21, I hope that we see God's heart today. He desires to reach out with the good news. How does God reach out to those who need the good news? This is not a trick question. This is a simple answer. How does God reach out to others who need the good news? I think all of us know the answer, right? Through you and through me. We are God's messenger of the good news of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says this. We are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, referring to Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. We are ambassadors of God. I think down here got no ambassador, right? Or most of us are not ambassadors, right? So we do not know and fully understand what is the role of an ambassador. An ambassador is one who represents the country. And usually you are in another nation. You are in a foreign land. You represent your country. When they look at you, they think that everybody in your nation is like that. Because they never see Singaporeans now quite well travel. But last time, maybe 20, 30 years ago, you travel maybe to Europe or to America, you tell them you are from Singapore. They thought you are a China man. They thought Singapore is part of China. 20, 30 years ago. Now we are very prominent. Everybody know that Singapore, one of the richest nations on the earth, right? But the point is this, when they look at you, they think that every Singaporean is like you. They think that they talk like you. That is an ambassador. And you represent whose interest? You represent your country's interest. You speak up for the people of your country. You are like the king or the president visiting. Even when you get into an accident, you have special treatment. Yeah, car accident. Do you know that? That is an ambassador. Friends, you and I are ambassadors of Christ. How do we represent Christ? We belong to another kingdom. We are God's messengers. I want us to pay attention to the language that is being used here. As though God is making his appeal through us. Friends, let this sink in for a while. Does God need to appeal? Does God need to appeal? He is God. He said, let there be light. And there was light. He must appeal. Note the language. He appealed through us. And that's not all. The next few words, even more powerful. We implore you. We implore you. What is implore? Implore is plead, beg, tolong, please. Friends, I implore you today, I beg you today. Have beautiful feet. Bring the good news to the world. I implore you, I beg you. Why do I say that? You are God's mouth. We have been quiet for too long. We have been lazy for too long. This was the message that God gave me. Leonard, open your mouth. Are you ashamed of me? Get up from your sofa. Stop being a couch potato. Go. Use your leg. Use your hands. How are people going to know about me? I appeal through us. God appeal through us. He implore you. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Go and beg your friends. Go and beg your relatives. Go and beg everybody. Come and believe in Jesus. That is what it means. Be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, no sin to be sin for us. That is the message. Friends, how does people know about God? Not too long ago, we had COVID, right? I think now than more than ever before, we appreciate delivery men. Last time delivery men come, but when COVID, we order, we did a lot of ordering, right? Food lah, toilet paper lah. laugh lah. Toilet paper lah. Everything now we call grab food and all that, right? It's very convenient. Sometimes when I leave home, you call grab in your car, the grab will arrive same time as you. The food. Very convenient, right? Imagine if the delivery system doesn't deliver. During COVID, if we don't have the vaccine, what will happen? There will be a lot of death. During COVID, if you don't have toilet paper, what will happen? You'll be distressed. I do not know why, but we will be distressed. During COVID, if you do not have rice, what will happen? The most die, lor. Right? Even if you don't have vaccine, die lah. Die. All of us one day will have to die. We have to face that fact. It's when and how. But friends, if you and I today fail to deliver, people not only die, they spend their whole eternity in damnation. Whole eternity suffering. Separation from God. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about some of them could be our friends, our relatives. It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be your nephew, your niece, your colleague, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. Friends, we are the delivery system. Carry that message and deliver. Because if we don't deliver, souls are going to be doomed. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If you fail to deliver, there will be dire consequences, more terrible than physical death. May God stir our hearts today to action and deliver the good news of peace. I'll give us some time for reflection because I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. I have spoken much, but this is the time for me to shut up and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and you respond to Him. After some time, the worship team will lead us in the response song.